Let's open the scriptures, please, in the book of Ezra and the chapter number 6, in the verse number 16. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy, and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their division and the Levites in their courses for the service of God which was at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity and for their brethren the priests and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth for Jesus' sake. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open thy word, we pray that thou wilt bless it to our hearts, and we pray that thou wilt instruct us once again, even from thine infallible book. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake, amen. Now our text this morning is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. And we have been preaching and looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Verse number 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And of course, when we were meditating upon the fruit of the Spirit, we were remembering that the first in the cluster of Spirit fruit was love. It said the fruit of the Spirit is love. And in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. And so we were speaking about the fruit of the Spirit being love. And I don't know about you, but I know that my heart was challenged as well as it was blessed as we looked at that great chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in these past last Lord's days. And in actual fact, I can remember as in my Sunday school days, remembering 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I still remember it through to this very day because it was written on my heart. But I can tell you, whenever you start studying it, and when you start knowing what the meaning is, I can tell you there are times that God just smarts you. And I can tell you there are times that you hurt whenever you read it, because we are so unlike in many ways that fruit of the Spirit which is mentioned in that passage of God's Word. The fruit of the Spirit is love. But I want us to take a step further this morning. And I want us to look at the second that is there in the cluster of the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll find it says, and the fruit of the Spirit is not only love, but it says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Is joy. Now, I'm sure you've realized that we were singing hymns this morning about rejoicing. And I rejoicing every day. And you know, that's what God's people ought to do. But I believe that whenever a person lives a life of Christian love, then there is as natural as day follows night and night follows day, the most natural thing that follows love is joy. Because I believe that the love of God in your heart will bring the joy of the Lord into your soul. I want us to look at three things about this joy that's mentioned. First of all, I want us to think about the meaning of joy. It says here, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. You know, when some people try to describe joy and try to define it, they think in their minds of a person who's happy, or other words, happiness. And they say, well, you know, that's what it means to be joyful. It just means to be happy. And yet, in reality, I do not believe that that is the appropriate description of what this joy is that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I do believe that God's people ought to be the happiest people in the world. I believe that God's people ought to be. The children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. Their way is growing bright. Their souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to a palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But friends, the joy that is spoken of here in the Scriptures, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, does not simply mean happiness, because they are not the same. In actual fact, joy and happiness can come from different sources. Let me explain that to you. The word happiness, in actual fact, it's linked with what happens. Happiness happens. And therefore, quite often, when people are happy, it is linked to those things that happen to them. In other words, things that bring them happiness or brings them joyfulness. But quite often, it's certainly linked with the things that happen to them. In other words, it's linked with the things that with things around us. But friend, you and I know this, that if that is the real meaning of happiness, that we're quite often in trouble. Because, be quite honest with you, there are things that happen around us and to us that can rapidly change. I can guarantee that you will be laughing this afternoon, that you will be laughing tonight, if that's what you mean by happiness, if that's what you mean by joy. Because troubles come into our lives. Because trials come into our lives. Because problems come into our lives. And yet, friend, joy is something that you can have even in the midst of trouble. Joy is something, the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, is something that you and I can experience even when the circumstances around us are not joyful and do not make us happy or do not make us laugh. And so joy is something that originates with the Spirit of God and therefore doesn't depend upon circumstances or the things that happen to us or events that happen around us. It is, the Bible speaks here, it is the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Not circumstances brings joy. It is not the happenings of our lives that brings the joy, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, I believe that it indicates that if we have this joy that is spoken of here in Galatians chapter 5:22, it is concerning our relationship, and a growing relationship and a genuine relationship that you and I have in Jesus Christ and with God our Father and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is true, my friends, that many people spend their lives in pursuit of happiness. People think, if I had money, it would make me happy. People think, if I had a beautiful car, it would make me happy. People think, if I had that special job that maybe somebody else has, and I have the abilities that somebody else has, it would make me happy. Friend, it might. But that doesn't necessarily make you joyful in that spiritual sense. Because you see, again, that's things, happenings, and things around you. And that's where you're basing your happiness in. And the sad reality is this, that many people who pursue happiness never find it. There's another word that some people express when they think about joy. They think about pleasures. They think about pleasures. But my friend, that's not the appropriate word again. Because the Bible says that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. You turn over to 1 Timothy, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says this in verse number 6, 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." She that liveth in pleasure, the word of God says, is dead while she liveth. Now, that's not joy, is it? She's dead. She has pleasure. And people today are running after the pleasures of the world, friend. But the book of Hebrews chapter 11 says, verse 25, concerning Moses, that he realized the pleasures of sin were but for a season. Oh, joy is the joy of the Spirit, friend. And the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, is something that is more deep. It's more abiding. Amazing thing about the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. It abides in the midst of difficulties. It abides in the midst of trials. It abides in the midst and in spite of the circumstances of life. Indeed, scriptural joy is, it's not a fleeting thing. It's not a fleeting happiness, but it's a deep, consistent satisfaction. It is a deep contentment which we have in Jesus Christ. You know, the word for joy in the Old and New Testament, they're actually different words. There's different Greek words. There are different Hebrew words. In the Old Testament, Hebrew words. There are different Hebrew words in the Old Testament used for this word joy. And the Greek of the New Testament, once again, to express joy, to express rejoicing, there are a number of words. Where is this joy? Or how does this joy come to us? Interesting thing is, let us notice source of joy. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. So you need to keep your Bible here, because we want to just give you a little Bible reading this morning and point out different references. You know, it's amazing. This Bible is full of joy. I tell you, this book, my friend, is full of joy. God's people ought to be the most joyful people in all the world, because this book is full of joy. Of course, it's full of Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 15, look at verse number 11. It says this, "These things have I spoken unto you." What things? What did I say that brings joy, real joy, joy of the Spirit, friend? I said love. Look at verse number 10, or verse number 9 and 10. "As the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." There, my friend, love is mentioned over and over again. And then he says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And so we find here that this real joy, the meaning of real joy, first of all, joy is the joy of Christ, my joy. And the Lord wants you to experience his joy. He says this, "that my joy might remain in you." Of course, for it to remain in you, it first of all has to be in us. It can't remain if it's not already there. And that joy comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My friend, you can never know real joy and true happiness if you do not know Jesus Christ. You will go after the fleeting pleasures of the world and the happiness that the world has got to give, and it's only for a season. But if you want real joy, if you want real joy, think of the wee chorus that we taught to the children. If you want joy, real joy, what does it say? Let Jesus come into your heart. You really believe that? Friend, I was taught that as a little boy. But praise God, I'll tell you, I was not only taught that in little children's meetings as a little boy, I was taught that by the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and brought me to know Jesus. And thank God there is a joy in knowing Christ. And that's what Jesus says. Listen, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." He wants you not only to be happy the night that you got saved and joyful the night that you got saved, but he wants his joy, Christ's joy, to remain in you. And then he says this, "not only my joy remain in you, but then that your joy might be full." My cup's full.
and running over.
Oh, friend, let me tell you, that's the joy. It's the joy of Christ. It's the joy of Christ. In the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, in chapter 8, it says these words, Nehemiah chapter 8, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, but Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10, it says this. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. I tell you, we have nothing to be sad about today. The Bible says the joy of the Lord, or the joy of Jehovah God. In other words, it's not only the joy of Christ, it's the joy of God the Father. And God gives you joy in your heart in knowing that God is your Heavenly Father today. It certainly brings joy to my heart. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, in the light of those words, the joy of the Father, the joy of the Lord, Jehovah. In Isaiah, chapter 12, it says this, in verse number 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy will ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. There's the joy of the Father. And so we find we have the joy of Christ. And then we have the joy of the Father. Well, what about the Holy Ghost? Well, let's not forget the third person of the Trinity. Because you see, there's a Trinity of joy. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And of course, that's before you get to the book of Timothy. We have the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it says there in verse number 6 of 1 Thessalonians 1, which is come, or sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And so we find a source of real joy. It's the joy of Christ. It is the joy of the Father. It is the joy of the Holy Ghost. You know, true joy comes from these facts. First of all, that God the Father loved us. And in his love for us, he set his electing love upon us. And away back there in eternity, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That brings joy to my heart. Listen, I'll tell you why. Because I'm not an afterthought to God. The Lord, you know, didn't just one day say, you know, I think I love him. I'm not an afterthought, friend, and neither are you, child of God. You're not an afterthought to the Father. For away back there, before the hills in order stood or earth received her frame, God set his electing love upon the people for his Son. And thank God we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And that brings me joy this morning. That God would ever think upon me. That God would ever love me. And realizing that God set his love upon me before I ever was born, friend. Before I ever came out of my mother's womb. That God chose me in Christ. That thrills my soul, because God's never ever going to forget me. If he thought upon me away back in eternity, thank God he's never going to stop loving me. He's never going to stop caring for me. And even though sometimes it is, he has to bring me into the crucible of suffering and pain, and sometimes the Lord has to mature me and lay the whip upon me, because whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I bless God, there is a joy in my soul because I'm loved of the Father. And I dwell from the wells of the joy of God's love. And secondly, not only that God loved me, but that Christ died for me. And thank God, when Jesus Christ came into this world in the fullness of time, and a few Sundays from now we'll have Christmas Sunday, and we remember that Jesus came. And friend, that should be in our hearts and mind, because let me tell you, if there had not been a Bethlehem, there had never been a Calvary. And we remember the cross, but we need to remember also that he was virgin born, because if he had not been virgin born, then he could not have died an atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. And those people who tried to dismiss us rejoicing in the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in the fullness of time into this world. Let me tell you, in the calendar of God, there was a day. In the calendar of God, there was a time when God sent forth his Son into this world. And he sent him with his purpose of living that sinless life. And thank God he satisfied divine justice, for one day he went to the cross. And he shed his precious blood for me. And his joy is in my heart today to realize that my soul rests upon that finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. I have no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. Praise God, he died for me. But that doesn't end the story. Because thank God, not only do I rejoice in this fact, that God the Father chose me and God the Son died for me. But praise God, the Holy Spirit of God resides in me. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he went back to heaven, and he said, I go to prepare a place, but he said, I will send the Comforter. And thank God, the Comforter has come. And the blessed Holy Spirit, he resides in my heart. The joy of the Holy Ghost. The hymn writer said, oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Nothing's the same as before. My life overflows since Jesus came. He gave me something worth living for. Child of God, you need to rejoice today. You know what the Lord said to the disciples? Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. This is what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. You know, he told them to rejoice. He told them to have a deep joy. Why? Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse number 20. Notwithstanding, let's look at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. You know, people today, they want their names written in the rolls of man. They like man to honor them. And friend, to be honest, it plays to our pride, doesn't it? When people honor us, when people mention us in a very special way. But the Word of God says, rejoice rather, because your names are written in heaven. Hymn writer said, yes, my name's written there on the pages bright and fair. Yes, my name's written in the book of life. If you want to be up there, then down here you must prepare. And your name must be in the book of life. First of all, we spoke about the meaning of joy, and it is the joy of the Lord, Jehovah. It is the joy of Christ. It is the joy of the Holy Spirit. But notice in the Bible the manifestations of joy. And friend, be honest, whenever I was reading this, I never realized that the Bible is so full of it mentions joy, 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 joy. Joy, joy, joy within my heart is ringing. The wee chorus, as you know, had got the truth. And this joy of Lord is not only in our circumstances, remember, because all the circumstances of our life are not joyful experiences. But friend, there is a joy in the midst of them. In the midst of those experiences. Yes, there are. There are great experiences. For example, 1 Samuel chapter 18. It tells us there concerning David. He comes back from the battle. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, the women started to sing because they were full of joy. And it says this, and verse number 5 of 1 Samuel 18. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one to another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And so here's an experience of great victory. Thank God we have had those days in our lives, days of real victory over sin. And we have come against our Philistines, but God has given us the victory. And friend, it's a tremendous experience. Whenever you come through a valley experience, can I lay this before you? I was visiting a wee lady last evening in a hospital ward. And this is a wee lady who's a child of God, friend. She loves Jesus, and she has been walking with Jesus for years. She has many very frailties in the body. But I was going through the hospital door, and this gentleman stopped, and he said, would you come and, Mr. McRae, I'd love you to come and speak to my wife. I didn't know him. I recognized, I said, I've seen that face somewhere, but he said, could you please come and speak to my wife? She's going through a deep valley experience. And I went into that little room, that little single room in the hospital, and as I went, friend, listen, here's a little child of God, and I say little because she's a small in stature, and her body's so weak and frail. But the attack is not on her body that she's worried about. It's the attack that the devil has brought to her mind. And the devil has put things into her mind, thoughts that she has never had in her lifetime. Never experienced in her lifetime. And the devil's just bombarding her mind and taking away that great peace in her heart. And as we gathered there together, I reminded him, it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And I said, there are three of us, and we love the Savior. And therefore, the Lord has promised he's in our midst. But the Lord then says something else. He says, if any two shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, he says, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I believe with all my heart that God does not want his child to be lying there in despair or under the attack of Satan. I believe that God wants to cleanse the mind and purify the mind. The Word of God says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And you know, when the old devil comes with these evil things, what do we do? The Word of God says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, get your mind on the pure things. Get your mind on holy things. And I say, sister, there's only one who's pure and holy that you need to get your mind on Christ. And we pray it together, and I pray believingly that God has put his hand, but I want God's children Just to do remember, you don't know who she is, and you don't need to know who she is. But there is a child of God today that needs a touch from God and needs the devil to be driven from her and the attacks of hell and the insinuations of hell that's coming against a precious child of God, a little saint of God lying in a hospital bed. And I want you to pray, and I want you to pray believingly. Because if you don't pray believing, you might as well not pray. And pray that God will indeed touch her, and that the Lord will heal. You know, the Bible, here's a day of victory. But life's not always like that. There are times of the storms. Can we have joy in the midst of that? Listen, thank God we can. The Lord has promised us joy. The Lord has promised us. Let me just, I know time's away. Let me give you two wee little passages of God. Psalm 30. And you're going through, maybe you're going through in your life, and none of us know about it because you haven't told. Maybe you're going through a night experience and you're wondering, will it ever end? Listen, friend. Psalm 30 and verse number 5. This is what it says. Verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Thank God, joy is going to break through. And you may be going through a dark night, and you can say, brother, if you only knew how many times that my pillow has been wet with my tears, and I've never shared it with anyone else, and I've cried out in the night. Yes, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh. Joy cometh in the morning. Thank God the morning will break through. God's promised it. Then very quickly, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange. You know, sometimes the old devil comes. You know his own evil insinuations. You couldn't be a child of God. You couldn't be a child of God and going through what you're going through. Now, if you really were a child of God, all you'd have to do is ask, and immediately, like the click in your fingers, God would answer it immediately. God would just work the miracle. This is what it says in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Thank God today the Lord's promised. As the hymn says, he gives me peace in the midst of a storm. He gives me joy. He gives me joy in the midst of it. And we can rejoice today that once on our way to hell, but now in Christ, we're on the way to heaven. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh. Hallelujah. In the morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thou knowest every head that's bowed in this thy house today, this meeting house. And thou knowest their circumstances far more than even a husband knows his wife or his wife or husband. Or a father and mother, their children. Thou knowest every thought. Thou knowest every intent of the heart. And thou knowest the experiences of life that they're going through. Thou knowest the days that are so dark it seems as if the sun's not going to break through, and the night's so long it seems as if the morning's never going to come. But, O God, we thank Thee for that deep joy that is our strength. The joy of the Lord Jehovah is your strength. Our joy is not in the happenings around us or even within us. We thank Thee that our joy is in Christ. And I pray this morning for any in this service that are not saved, and they've never known what it is to rejoice in the fact that their names are written in heaven. O God, in Jesus' name I pray, bring them to Jesus. Make this the day of repentance. Make this the day of their salvation. And dare we leave your presence, Lord, in prayer. Remember your children. O God, come. And as the storms beat upon them with a fiery trial, give them joy that we're counted worthy to suffer for Christ. We pray in Jesus' precious name.